So welcome to Coffee with Marcus and Mark, live from Cayman Island. This is why we are sitting together here. Today is, what is today? Tuesday, October 4th, and there's a lot to talk about because it is October. So this means market seems to rally. I mean, yesterday the Dow had a great day, up 760 points. Best day since June 24th. And we also see that interest rates are rolling over and JP Morgan published its top picks for October. We'll take a look at this because one of the stocks that we have in our portfolio is in there. Plus, we placed a few trades this morning. I want to show you exactly what we are doing here. Anyhow, lots to cover, so let's get started. By the way, if this is your first time here, I'm Marcus Hardcutter. This is my head coach, Mark Hodge, live from Cayman Islands right now, where we're spending a week with our mastermind members, trading live in the morning and then coming live with you on this YouTube show, and then trade again some more. Anyhow.
Fun times.
Okay, we're real traders who trade real accounts with live money. So we'll show you our trades, and we hope that this helps you. So with that said, let's get started.
Sounds like a plan. Look at these markets, Marcus.
Crazy. I mean, yesterday we already had a fantastic update. Let's just switch to a five-minute chart. So yesterday, that's what we saw. So opened a bit higher, pulled back, but then up and away.
Yeah, and really no major catalyst. You could say it's just because it's October. September, typically a lousy month or one of the worst months of the year, and October can be better. I think that there's a word of the day as well that we haven't discussed, and that's just contrarian, right? Because so many people were pessimistic and thinking that the sky was falling and this is bad. Sometimes when that happens, traders, they want to buy. Do the opposite.
I mean, who said it? Somebody, when there's blood in the streets, start buying. And I mean, Warren Buffett always says, be fearful when others are greedy, and be greedy when others are fearful. And this is what we have seen. I mean, we made new lows for the year. We took out the June lows, and this is where there was just a lot of fear. How much lower will it go? And this is where we're seeing a little bit of a relief rally. And I said, no apparent reason. We did have the jobs report. We'll talk about this in a moment. But this morning, when we already opened up 2% higher, it was basically like everybody woke up and said, oh, it's October.
Yeah. I mean, yesterday you had weaker than expected ISM manufacturing. But to me, it wasn't enough to justify the move. So I really just think it was lousy September over. Let's buy and see where it goes. And like you said, even though there was another report this morning, a decent amount of the move had already, you know, started.
Yeah. So the JOLTS job openings. And I mean, this week, the major focus is really, the jobs report that's being released on Friday. Yep. And this is where traders right now trying to gauge, okay, what's happening here? And the JOLTS job openings is the first of the whole batch that we have this week with ADP non-farm employment and the big one on Friday. And here, much worse than expected.
Sure. So this shows the number of job openings. We see that the forecast was 11.07. Last reading was 11.17. So this 10.05 is much lower than expected. Actually, the lowest that we've seen since July of 2021. But that's good for traders who are worried about the Fed raising rates.
That's it. Right now, we have bad news is good news.
Yep.
Because we already know that the Fed wants to slow down the economy. And one of the factors that they said, that Powell said during the press conference is, he wants to see a softer job market. So softer job market means less job openings and a little bit more unemployment.
Sure. I mean, you think about it, when you have strong jobs, there's competition and companies will be paying more money to attract good quality employees. More money out there means you could spend more, meaning you could afford higher prices. And it's just this big, nasty inflation explosion that we've seen, not helping inflation. But when you have a softer economy, fewer jobs, people getting paid less, it sounds crappy, but it actually is great for inflation falling and the economy in this situation.
Right. And this is why bad news, again, is good news, because it means that then the Fed will relax a little bit and not as aggressively tighten. So let's see what does it this morning to the probabilities of a 75% hike versus a 50 basis point hike. Not much has changed.
Yeah, that's. I mean, it's interesting that it hasn't, but there's still just other data that the market wants to look at.
I think Friday will be the important one.
Sure.
And because there's not much else going on, this is why I think after this massively oversold reaction, we kind of have a relief rally here. I mean, we opened up already 2% higher, and the NASDAQ now is up 3.2% for the day already.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice. And it gets you a little bit closer to the line in the sand for a bet that we placed yesterday.
Oh, my God. Okay. So we have to talk about the bet. So because yesterday I said, okay, here's what I believe. The market will turn around and they will end the year on December 31st. We will be down single digits. And this is where, if you're looking at the markets right now, and we're talking about, by the markets, I mean the S&P 500. So right now, the S&P 500 is down 20%. So this means that I basically say the markets will rally and close less than down 10%. And the line in the sand for this would be at 4,200. And this is where we took a bet with our mastermind members here in the room, and you decided to bet against me.
And here's the thing. I believe that we will see a rally into the end of the year, right? So I actually think that what you said isn't too far off, and it could be that we are in single digits because we have had all of this negativity, and I do think that we're going to see some buying. However, being the options trader that I am, here, this to me was a no-brainer bet because if the markets go nowhere, I win. If the markets fall, I win. If the markets go up, just not enough, I win. So I kind of had to take the bet just for principle.
You had to take the bet. I mean, if you look over the last 2 days since Friday, we already rallied 5%. So we'll see. I mean, this is where we have a friendly bet going on.
It's a fun
a nice box of steaks.
Yeah.
And so we have also two mastermind members who took me up on the bet. So we'll see. We'll keep you posted there. All right, so let's take a look at some trades that we did this morning. I mean, last week, I already traded Marriott. So let's go back there. Let's bring up Marriott. And I sold the 131 put. Let's see, I think I wrote it down here. I just have to zoom out a little bit. I zoomed in a little bit too much here. So there we go. So this is what happened last week for me. I sold the 131 puts expiring this week for $115 per option for 35% annualized. And you actually sold the same put yesterday.
Yep.
You received a little bit less premium because now time has passed, but that worked out well. You got 60 cents or something like this?
Yeah, I got 60 cents. So a little more than half of what you got, but it was a trade that I put on yesterday. And with Marriott's move today, I closed it at 5 cents, 10 cents, my apologies, which is 83% of its max profit. So for me, if I get a one-day move like that, you know, getting 10 cents for the, you know, that's what, 2.5 cents a day rather than the 5 cents I was getting to begin with. So anyway, I'm happy to close it and take that profit and maybe trade it again if there is a pullback. So nice trade.
We'll talk about a few more trades here, but we'll also link to a video at the end of this video that explains this in more detail of why we like to close trades at 80% of the max profit or 90% of the max profit. But this was definitely a good one. In terms of selling puts, not much to do. As you can see right now, no stocks meet the filter criteria. You may consider changing the filters, but this is normal because what we typically see on updates, we don't have that many puts to sell because we want to see down days to sell puts and up days to sell calls or to close our puts.
Exactly. And honestly, this is for two reasons. One, if there's a drop, you're going to be able to get better strike prices near support. So you get that put premium increasing because of the decline. But then also when you have a falling market, you see the volatility expand. That's where the VIX, the volatility index, will usually increase on a down day. So it's kind of a win-win for selling puts on a nice up day like today. It's gonna be difficult.
Yeah, but selling calls works out really, really well because we both have Google in our portfolio at different prices that we bought. So I bought it at 108. So right now I have not been able to sell calls against it just yet. but you bought it at 103.50.
Yep.
So this is where you have been able to sell calls against it this morning.
Yeah, this morning I was keeping an eye on it. I sold the 104 calls for 40 cents, which was 35% annualized. We had some Mastermind members get 45, 50 cents. So nice little move there. I'm just happy to bring my break even down another 40 cents. That's the goal right now, and nice premium.
Yeah, and I want to see at least 30% annualized. And we see that right now, the only strike price that I could get is the 104. Now, I don't, my break even is actually just around there. It's at 104 and something. So I could sell it at break even and therefore bring down, bring in more premium. But I choose to wait and sell it here at the 108. Right now, I can only get 3% annualized. So I'm waiting a few more days because I believe that until Friday, we might drift higher. And then Friday, the jobs report will be the important one.
Yeah, good plan.
All right. Well, talking about selling calls.
Yeah.
We actually, yesterday, JP Morgan published their list of their top picks for October. And one of our stocks made the list. So LVS,
woohoo!
Las Vegas Sands. So JP Morgan thinks that they have a profit target of 44. And as you know, this is a position that they've been in for a longer time. And but recently we have been able to sell calls against our existing position here.
Yes. So LVS, after an initial drop last year that really drifted into a lower range, it's really been range bound, which again, it's not good for our entry point, but good for a wheel stock. And that's what we like to see. Finally breaking through that upper range the last couple of weeks, we were able to sell calls a few times. Today, I decided to sell the 42.50. I collected 20 cents, which I think was 53% annualized.
Yeah, something like this. So the 42.50, I decided to sell the 43. So as you can see, the 43 and the 42.50 is above our break even, but below our cost basis. And we talked about it yesterday here with our mastermind about the four different scenarios of where do we want to sell calls, right? I mean, you can sell it as an example here on SU. Yeah, I sold calls yesterday at my assigned price of 29, and this is just working out beautifully, right? You did the same with Google, so you can do it at the assigned price. Then with Nvidia, I did it a few times above the assigned price, and I'll link to a video in the description here as well. And then there's also the possibility, like we do it here in LVS, that we sell it between our break even and our cost basis.
Yeah, and this is where when you sell calls as a call seller, you have an obligation to sell shares. So we want to make sure that we are willing to sell our shares at that strike price. Otherwise, it's best to hold off. We don't want a scenario where the stock just takes off out of nowhere, goes straight through that short call, and now we're panicking trying to figure out what the heck to do with the trade. At 42.50, I'm comfortable if I had to sell my shares at 42.50. Now, my break even is around 41, I believe, even including the 20 cents I collected today and then the other two times I sold calls with those spikes. Just those three times brought my break even down 93 cents, so almost a dollar from where it was just at the beginning of August by doing this. So I'm okay with it and maybe rolling if it gets up to 42.50. You wanted to give it a little more room.
Yeah, exactly. Because I haven't given up on LVS, especially since JP Morgan put it on the list. And again, does this mean that JP Morgan is right? No, but we are not the only ones looking at their list. I mean, obviously, JP Morgan is pushing this list heavily to their clients, which is also all to the Chase Bank customers. So it becomes kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy, because there's many traders who have absolutely no idea what to trade, and they rely on lists and ratings, right? And so this could be a list or Goldman Sachs list or Morningstar's rankings or something like this, right? I mean, as you know, we do it differently because we use the tool here, PowerX Optimizer, to find the best trades, and it's been working out great.
Yeah, and so you have the list, you have the technicals, the tools saying that there's nice premium. Fundamentally, you also have a reason for LVS to move because of the restrictions being lowered in Macau, and that's been the concern. It's a solid company. It's been on list for a while and just stayed in this range because of all of the issues with COVID and gambling at a casino. I think that we're in a situation where we'll be out of this in, I'm going to say, 4 to 6 weeks.
Right. Now, I promised you yesterday that I will show you where I ended up September, and I'll do this in a moment. But if you find this helpful, what we are doing here, we'd appreciate if you give us a like really quick, or leave a comment and let us know if you're enjoying the show and what else you would like us to cover here. All right, now let's move on to the trading log, and let's take a look at the dashboard here, where we see, let me just zoom in. So right now, for the year, I'm at realized profits of $125,000. And we talked about it. July for me was a travel month. There wasn't much for me to trade. As you can see, I only made $3,300. My goal on this account is to make around $15,000 per month. So I definitely fell shy of this goal in July. Also in August, because in August I was in Germany for quite a while, I didn't trade too much there. But now September, back on track. Nice. So pretty much 15,306. Most of it coming from options trades. A little bit of dividend here because TPR, stock that I have in my portfolio, paid a dividend of $834. Anyhow, this account started with $250,000 in the beginning of the year. So right now I'm at a little bit over 50%. And considering that, as we have just seen, the S&P is down, 20% for the year. I think we're doing good here with what we're doing.
Absolutely.
Okay. Anyhow, so as promised, I'll link to a video about this this profit taking and why do we close our options at 80 and 92%. Take a look at this, and then we'll be back live from Cayman Island tomorrow morning.
Happy trading, everybody.